I'm 2 feet from there.
Hey, was it? Just now? I hope it doesn't start raining here. Alright, Bismillah walhamdulillah. As-salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. Welcome back to our first session of Soul Food in person since, I believe, the first Thursday of March. I think is the last time myself and Ustadha Fatima were together sitting and, you know, hanging out with you guys and spending some time reflecting with you guys. And it's been 6 long, grueling months. I think a lot has happened in the past 6 months. I don't know about you guys, but there's been a lot of ups and downs these past 6 months since March until today. And obviously, life has changed drastically. I don't think, you know, whenever we're walking around right now and we see people just with masks on all the time, being super careful with protocol and everything like that, it's just like a really interesting kind of like culmination of our world is now. But alhamdulillah, you know, something that our teachers always taught us is that the people who are always very, very content with whatever Allah has given them are the people who adapt to the situations that they're put in. And alhamdulillah, this right here is almost it's a very truthful moment of how, alhamdulillah, Allah has allowed us to adapt. I don't think we ever thought back in January that we would be sitting in a parking lot on September 9th or 10th, whatever day it is today, on the lot having a session of Soul Food, but here we are. And alhamdulillah, we're really grateful for it, right? Because I think I can speak for myself, and Ustadha Fatima can probably attest to this, is that it's so nice to see you guys in person. Literally, it feels amazing to see people's faces rather than like people's usernames and handles on an Instagram live stream. Yeah. It's like this person logged on. I'm like, oh, great, awesome. But it feels so good to see you guys. And alhamdulillah, obviously, like everybody else, I think I've gotten really good at reading people's masks now. It's like everyone's bane, right? Like we finally get to kind of see who everybody is here, alhamdulillah. So we're really happy, first and foremost. Number two, now, alhamdulillah, what we're going to be doing today is last Thursday, actually, we introduced a new kind of series for the series of Soul Food, a new topic for the series of Soul Food. And they're all based upon relevant conversations that a lot of us kind of go through where, you know, we go to school or we're going to work, and it's just a part of our society. So last week, we actually ended up talking about the idea of cancel culture, how it affects a Muslim. Is cancel culture allowed in Islam? Are there pros and cons to cancel culture? And today, alhamdulillah, we have the real blessing to talk about something that I find extremely fascinating, first and foremost. And I know when Ustadha Fatima kind of, she actually kind of, me and her sat and lesson planned this entire kind of month or two out, just a couple of months ago or a month or so ago. And one of the topics that we both kind of brought up was this idea of manifesting. You know, this is something that everyone is kind of aware of nowadays, this idea of, you know, really wanting something, and what do you do when you really want something in your life? And so we thought it would be really beneficial to bring to light the idea of what it means to want something and how do you get what you want. Is there something that is a part of manifesting that is relevant to Islam, that correlates with Islam? And is there something that negates the teachings of Islam? And I think it's really important to kind of bring this stuff up because it's something that we all deal with every single day, whether you are living under a rock or you're immersed with society, whatever it is, right? And so one of the first things I want to kind of ask people is, you know, what is manifesting, right? I want you guys to kind of think about this. You guys heard this term before, right? What's manifesting? Obviously, I don't want everyone to like blur it out because you're behind masks right now. I probably won't be able to hear you that well. But essentially, when I was doing my research on this, it's basically using like a lot of focus, a lot of drive and energy to accomplish something that you really want or to get something that you really want. And that's very interesting. Basically, I was kind of looking at like an article by a person who apparently like is an expert in this. It's about using a lot of like your focus, your drive, your energy to kind of bring to physical reality something that you really want in your life. Okay. Now, does that sound like haram to you guys? Everyone's like, I don't know. Is this a trick question? No, it doesn't, right? It doesn't really sound that bad. It sounds pretty normal, right? I mean, like, we've all wanted to get a good grade in school, so we're like, all right, I'm going to sit here and just kind of, like, think about this for a while and study really hard and, you know, make sure I do whatever I can in my ability to do good on this exam. And that's totally fine. And so the first question I want to ask is, like, is wanting something really badly in Islam wrong, right? Is asking for something in Islam wrong? And the very simple answer is no, right? There's an actual ayah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, right? And I'm sure everyone knows this dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ literally means, oh, our Lord, give us, you know, the good in this life, fi dunya, and give us the good in the hereafter. Give us the best in this life and the best in the hereafter. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and, you know, save us, protect us from the punishment of the hereafter, from the punishment of the fire. And so this dua in and of itself proves that there's actually literally nothing wrong with you asking for the best in this life. You know, I think a lot of times, how many of you guys would raise your hand and say culture kind of like made religion murky for you growing up? Like kind of confused you a little bit growing up? Like, is this a part of religion or is this a part of culture? Is this a part of both or is this a part of neither? I think, in my opinion, a lot of times culture and religion do sometimes coincide, right? There's some aspects of culture and religion that do go together, okay? Certain principles, certain morals and teachings, they're found in both. But there are definitely moments in culture that are not at all aligned with what religion teaches you, okay? And I think personally, in my opinion, it's like a form of spiritual abuse when somebody uses their own, you know, their own motive and their own culture to kind of accomplish something spiritually to tell somebody that something is right or wrong. I think it's actually a part of like spiritual oppression to do that to somebody. And so culture and religion sometimes go hand in hand, but sometimes it's very, very opposite depending on what the intention is, right? And, you know, a part of, you know, culture sometimes growing up, and this is at least what I was told growing up, is that a part of being a good Muslim is like being very quiet and not asking too many questions and, you know, making sure that you don't ask for too many things, be happy with what you have in your life and be content, because being content is something that's really important for a Muslim, for a believer. But in reality, there's something very beautiful about asking Allah for things, right? There's actually a very, very strong hadith, and it's actually found in Sahih Bukhari, where the Prophet, you know, he said, whenever somebody appeals to Allah for something, he should ask, he or she should ask with determination. He or she should ask with determination. Meaning, like, don't shy away from asking Allah for things in your life. When you ask Allah for something, put your heart into it. Mean it. It's not against Islam to literally tell Allah, Ya Allah, I want this. I really want this, right? I feel like I need it, Ya Allah. There's nothing wrong with that. The Prophet actually said, he's asked with determination, and they should not say, oh Allah, if you wish, give me this or give me that. You know, a lot of times, you guys feel anxiety when you forget to say inshallah after something? You're like, hey, are you going to go to school next week? Yeah. Oh, I forgot to say inshallah. I'm not going to school next week. Never mind. Right? Like, you almost feel that. Like, sometimes I do at the grocery store. I just, like, check out something at, like, Kroger or, like, Tom Thumb, and it's, like, spaghetti sauce and, like, vegetables. You're like, oh, you know, Italian night? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, inshallah. I mean, ooh. You're not Muslim, right? You probably don't understand what that means. Sometimes, like, you feel, like, inclined to say inshallah because you almost feel like it's not going to happen if you don't do it. But the Prophet, actually, it's a tradition that when you're making dua, that you actually shouldn't follow up your dua with inshallah. Do you guys know this? That's incredible because everything else, you're told to say inshallah. Like, if you're going to do something, if you plan on doing something, you say inshallah. But when you're asking Allah for something, you should actually say, Ya Allah, give me this. Ya Allah, I really want you to give me this. And that enough, you asking Allah for something is enough of an inshallah for Allah willing it to happen. How incredible is that? So there's nothing wrong in you saying, I want this or I want that, right? And the Prophet actually encourages us to be very forthcoming with what you want in life. So where does manifestation play in all of this? Where does it play in all this? Manifestation kind of tells you that, you know, whatever you focus on is what you're bringing to reality. And, you know, you can do this through, and I was reading this article randomly today. I was like, how do you actually manifest something? I was like, I want to see if this works. I'm just going to sit here in my chair. Be like, I really want fried chicken right now, like manifest this. And literally they're like, there's a few ways of doing it. You can meditate. You can literally sit there and just like really focus hard on your task at hand and all these different things. And I was thinking about it. I was like, this doesn't sound all that bad. I was like, it sounds kind of normal, right? I feel like I've manifested plenty of times when I was like in school, right? Like, I really need to get this exam, or my mom is definitely not going to let me live in this house anymore. I need to be in this house, okay? Like, we have all these moments where we really want something or we're really trying to avoid something, right? Now, does that mean it's haram? No, not technically. Right, not technically. So what's the difference between manifestation and what we believe in Islam? And it's a very, very interesting point. I'll hand it off to Ustada Fatima, because Ustada Fatima is actually going to kind of elaborate a little bit on the practice of what it means to want something and how you get it in Islam, right? Because we believe that there's something called manifestation nowadays, but there's something called something else in Islam that's been there forever, and it's going to give us a little bit of light on and how to actually achieve it. And, you know, the one thing that I always thought of when I reflected on this topic at hand is that it's very easy to want spiritual reward without doing the hard work. It's very easy to want the spiritual reward without doing the hard work, right? And one of the proofs of this, and we live in a society where spirituality is actually kind of like a thing now, right? Like, I want to be more than just a person who benefits from, like, the physical reality of life. There has to be a bigger purpose to life than work and school and friends and all these different things. So people are like desperate for that deeper connection in life, right? Like, we want to feel like there's something more to life than just this. And because of that, like, we want to get in tune with our own self, right? Like, hey, like, if I focus a little bit deeper than just what the surface level is, maybe I'll be able to achieve things in life that I've never been able to achieve before. But Islam tells you something really interesting. That is, if you want spiritual reward, you have to focus in on the foundations. Have you guys ever heard of Hadith Jibril before? Yeah, you know Hadith Jibril. Hadith Jibril literally is like a hadith where, like, Angel Jibril comes down in the form of a man, and he sits with the Prophet ﷺ and Umar ibn Khattab and a couple other companions, and he asks the Prophet, he says, what is Islam, what is Iman, and what is Ihsan? And he asks the Prophet what is Islam, and the Prophet gives him the answer to what is Islam, the five pillars of Islam. And then he asks him, what is Iman? And he tells him the six pillars of Iman, the six pillars of faith. And then he finally asks him, what is Ihsan? Ihsan, by the way, for people who don't know the Arabic translation of the word Ihsan, it means like excellence, beauty, like something that's beautiful, something that's very good, okay? And the Prophet says, Ihsan is when you worship Allah as though you can see Him. Is when you worship Allah as though you can see Him. And even if you know you cannot see Him, understand or know that He can see you. That's what Ihsan is. But if you look at the pattern of the questioning, it's very, very important. Jibril alayhi salam didn't ask the Prophet what's Ihsan first. What did Jibril ask the Prophet first? Because what's Islam? Because what's your foundation? What do you believe in? Like, what's literally your foundation of your belief? Prophet says, Shahada, Salah, Zakat, fasting, and Hajj. What's your Iman? What are those pillars of your religion? Belief in Allah, belief in the angels, belief in the books, belief in the prophets, belief in Qadr, belief in the Day of Judgment. Right? Like, these different pillars. And then he goes, then what's Ihsan? And then he says, Islam, Ihsan is as you worship Allah as though you can see Him. And even if you can't see Him, understand He sees you. Spiritual reward and benefit only is possible after you back it up with your actual deen, your actual belief. It takes hard work, y'all. It takes a lot of hard work to get to that level of spirituality and to get to that level of getting what you want all the time, right? You know, the funny thing about manifestation always reminds me that people are always wanting things to happen to their lives, but they don't want to really work hard for it. It's almost like the mentality, like, I want to get rich and I want to get rich quick. That doesn't work all the time. Sometimes it might work, right? Sometimes you might manifest something and you're like, oh, dang, I got it right away. But then you'll soon realize that that formula doesn't really work for me too much. But you know what does work is that once I start actually really treating Allah like He's an important part of my life, and I realize my du'as are incredibly beautiful. And even if I don't get a direct answer for what I asked for in my du'a, I found beauty in whatever I was given instead, right? Because Islam builds that foundation of appreciation. Islam builds that foundation of, like, no matter what Allah gives me in life, I know there's something about it that I can benefit from. That's the nature of life, y'all. That's just the nature of life. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We have verily created you into hardship, right? No one told you that this life is easy. The Prophet ﷺ actually said that the people that are tested the most are the people that Allah loves the most. So another thing in culture, right? When people tell you that, like, if you're a bad Muslim, you get punished more. That's not true, man. That's not true. Like, the more spiritually intact you are, the Prophet said, you'll be tested more by Allah. The Prophets were tested most by Allah. So actually, if you're living a really good life with no problems whatsoever, I'd be worried. I'm just kidding. MashaAllah, I'm not trying to, like, jinx anybody here. But, you know, if you're going through difficulty in your life, don't be like, oh, Allah hates me, right? Allah's wrath is upon me. You know, like the weird translations in the Quran, Allah's wrath, right? But Allah's angry with me. No, that's not true. What if, because Allah is challenging you, is testing you, actually is proving that he loves you more than the average person, right? I know he or she can handle this. I know that they can get through this. It's a big part of our religion, y'all. It's a big part of our religion. So now I'm going to hand it off to Sada Fatima to reflect with us a little bit about the concept of what true manifesting is in Islam. Like, what does it actually mean when you want something, and how do you actually get it in Islam?
It's not that I don't trust you.
Oh, you do it. No, actually, Sada Murphy told me to do this before, too. Super hygienic.
It's not you.
It's fine.
It is you, actually.
It's me. Don't even worry about it.
Sorry, everybody. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدني is this working?
Yeah.
ربي زدني علما ربي زدني علما ربي زدني علما. So just to piggyback off of what Ustad Safi was mentioning, when I see on Twitter, because recently I re-downloaded my Twitter, it's always been active apparently for like 8 years, but this is my first year being active on Twitter. And what's very interesting is that I follow the most strange people who just give me the time of my life. Let me tell you, Twitter is not the place to be when you're when it's time to go to bed. And so when I'm following them and I, like, you know, see the things that they're up to, most of them are my cousins, so I can talk about them. And there are different things that are being said. And this idea, not idea, but this, like, thought process of manifestation. Like, this is going to be my year, and I'm manifesting that. I'm putting it into the universe that this is what's going to happen. And when I was reading these different tweets or even looking at people's different posts and things of that nature, I was thinking to myself that a lot of times we don't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives us outs in life. He gives us ways to be able to control our lives. And kind of like what Ustad Safi mentioned, that, you know, sometimes we want to have the benefits of spirituality, but we don't want to be spiritual. We want to have the benefits of spirituality, but we don't want to be spiritual. And what that means is that we turn things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already put in front of us as a way out. We turn them so that we can get rid of certain aspects of it. And the biggest tragedy in that is that you lose your relationship with God that way. That now you've made life about you. I manifested this, therefore I did it, and I am so great. Well, who created you? Who gave you the ability to be able to work hard at the thing that you're working hard at? And what really gets me, and what really makes me have to sit down and reflect, is that there are sometimes, like, I'm considered the type of person that I believe in putting your all into work. I believe in doing the best you can, and you will get good results. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught me time and time again in my life that just because you put in the hard work doesn't mean exactly what you want to happen will happen. Sometimes you will break your back, you will break your neck, you will do as much as you can for a situation or for something to come into fruition. And unless and until God wills it, it will not happen. That every single person on this earth can make dua for you to have something. And unless God wills it, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it, you will not have it. And vice versa. You can put in zero work for something. You can be the laziest person ever. And you can have everything that you've ever wanted, not because of the work that you've done, but because that's what God will. And so this concept of manifestation, it's something that is not new. It's not new at all. It's not a fad. It's not new. It's not something that somebody, like, went to Coachella and came up with and decided to put on the internet. It's not new. It's something that we've seen in our tradition, and we've seen through prophets, and how they actually did it properly with taking God on their journey with them. And I say this because you have prophets like the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. You have prophets like Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in the Quran about how they were tested. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally says about Musa alayhi salam, وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَا. And we tested you in many different ways. We gave you so many different trials. Imagine you're standing before Allah and you're talking to God, and God lets you know, like, hey, I know you had a hard life. Like, I know. And you're like, really? You know, I was struggling. Things were difficult. I wanted this to happen, that to happen. Musa alayhi salam is like, I killed a man on accident. Like, you know, I had to run and become a fugitive. I'm like sitting on a tree making my last dua, like, to you. Oh Allah, just bring the good that you have in store for me. Bring it. You can say that that's Musa alayhi salam manifesting that he's not going to live a life of just being a bum. What does he say to Allah? He says, oh Allah, I know you have good in store for me. Like, I know my life is not going to be just the sadness. I know my life is not going to be just difficulty. It's not just going to be hard. It's not just going to be all of this, like, tragedy. So the good that you have in store for me, ya Allah, please send it to me. Because inni faqir, I am in need. Faqir literally means to be poor. I am in need of your help. I am in need of your help. And then you have prophets like Ibrahim alayhi salam, who Ibrahim alayhi salam, I like to, when I think about him and I think about the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, that these three prophets, what really stands out to me is their dua. That the things that you want to happen in your life, the things that you, the way that you want your life to go on, the course that you want your life to take, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that to you. And that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give that to you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something better. And the last part of your dua should always be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you content with that which he decrees. And the reason why that part is so important is because sometimes we're so dead set on what we want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly closes that door and opens a door of something much better. But we can't see the value in that better because we're so dead set of what we think is best. Because we think that we know more than God. We think that we know more than the one that has created us. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he did some of the most amazing things in our history. And one of them was that he raised the foundations of the Kaaba. Okay, he raised the foundations of the Kaaba. Ibrahim alayhi salam is what you would call a good father. He took his son with him, said, we're gonna do something good for God. We're gonna go build this building. We're gonna build the Kaaba. So Ibrahim alayhi salam has many stories about him and his child and them going together and doing things. And we have a lot of our tradition that comes out of his fatherly nature. But he was raising the foundations of the Kaaba, and he doesn't just do something mediocre. You know, he doesn't just say, okay, I'm building a masjid. Not that building a masjid is mediocre, but he doesn't just say, I'm building a masjid. That's it. You know, God accepted it. I'm done. No. He builds the masjid, the Kaaba. He raises the foundations, and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's interesting is that if somebody builds a masjid, right? We say I decided, okay, I'm gonna build a masjid with my bare hands. I would feel really proud about what I did. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I did that. That was all me. You know, put my name on the door. I have a little hallway. I'll name the hallway after my mama, you know. Mama, this for you. You know what I'm saying? My mom, if she watches this, she's gonna be so embarrassed, but it's okay. Don't tell her, y'all. She doesn't have Instagram.
Cancel you.
Yeah, my mom's about cancel culture for me, at least. So if I build the masjid, I'll be very proud of what I did. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he wants this masjid, these foundations that he built, he wants it to be a blessing. You know, he wants it to be accepted. He wants it to be a place of virtue, a place of ritual. And so what he says is he makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, Rabbana taqabbal minna. He says, oh my Lord. And the word Rabb is so beautiful, because it means the one who has been there for me, the one who has taken care of me, the one who has, you know, had responsibility over me, the one who has sustained me, the one who has given me everything, all the ability that I have to be where I'm at today. That's what it means. My caretaker. He says, Rabbana taqabbal minna, O Allah, accept from us, innaka anta samiyul alim. That indeed you're the one who is all hearing. dead and all-knowing. But Ibrahim Alayhissalam doesn't just stop there. He wants his kids, he wants his offspring, his generations to come to be people that are good people. You know, he wants them to be upright people, people who are good citizens in the world, people who have good character. He doesn't just say, like, I'm going to raise good people, because that's a thing. You do raise good people. But he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has these amazing human beings. And so Allah, then Ibrahim alayhi salam makes this dua, and he asks Allah, he says, Rabbana waja'alna muslimaini lak. Oh Allah, make us people who are submissive towards you, who devote ourselves towards you, who obey you. And then he says, wa min durriyatina ummatan muslimatan lak. And our offspring's generations to come, let them also be people who are devoted to you. So he's not only like saying, okay, I want to be a good person. I did this thing. I want you to accept it, oh Allah. But I also want my generations, my literally my lineage to come to benefit from this good that I'm doing. Literally, like, have you guys heard of generational wealth? This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam is manifesting into the world. And what happens? His kids, his sons are prophets. His sons are prophets. A prophethood is not something you inherit. It's not something that you inherit. It's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses people for. His sons are prophets. And our tradition comes from Ibrahim alayhi salam. That Ibrahim alayhi salam and his kids and the du'as that he made is a big part of the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is who he is. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, at the end of this du'a, he actually makes a very important du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's so beautiful because it's like the actual definition of manifestation. He says about the rituals and the rites and things of the Kaaba, because what happens is that the Kaaba is built, people are now worshiping, whatever the case may be, revelation doesn't come for a very long time, and things get distorted. So before this even happens, Ibrahim alayhi salam makes a dua, and he says, Rabbana waba'ath fihim rasulan minhum. Oh my Lord, send to the people of this land, the people here, a messenger from amongst them. And then he says, he gives the description of this messenger. Yatlu alayhim ayatik, that he will recite your verses onto them. Wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah, and he will teach them the book and the wisdom. Wa yuzakkihim, and he will purify them. Wa innaka antal azizul hakim. Indeed, you are the one who's exalted in might and the most wise. And you know what's beautiful about this? Is that in the same exact surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the description of the job of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the job of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is? Yatlu alaykum ayatina. It's for you to recite upon them our verses. Wa yuzakkihim, and to purify them. Wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal hikmah, and for you to teach them the book and the wisdom. Whose dua was answered? Ibrahim alayhi salam. This was literally the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that dua with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautiful is that? That manifestation of good and taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that journey with you of good in your life brings you better. You don't even get exactly what you made dua for, you get better. So all the things that you want to accomplish in your life, all the goals that you have, all of this, I want to make sure, like, say, for instance, somebody in here decides, I want to pay off my college. I'm not trying to do any type of whatever loans or whatever the case may be. You can do it. That's something you can do. But who do you have to take on your journey with you? God. You have to take God on your journey with you. Somebody in here wants to be a better person. I want to be a better friend. I want to give better advice. I want to listen more, talk less. I want to be somebody who's like actually attentive with the people I'm around. You can do that. Who do you take on your journey with you? Allah. Because even when you fall short, guess who's going to have your back? God. Even when things get tough, guess who's going to keep pushing you? God. Nobody has your back like Allah has your back. nobody is there for you like Allah is there for you. Because even when we turn our backs on Allah, guess what? He still manifests good for us. He still allows us another day to try and be better. He still gives us things that we didn't even like make dua for. Have you ever received something that you didn't make dua for? That's like my whole life. My whole life is what I did not make dua for. I'm like, this was probably my mom's dua. This was definitely like my dad's dua, for sure my dad's dua. Like, I'm like, look, sometimes I just sit, I think about my life and I'm like, Allah has given me so much. He has given me so much that I couldn't even fathom making duas for the things that I have in my life because I didn't even know I needed it. I didn't know I needed the people that I have. I didn't know I needed the resources that I have. I didn't know I needed, you know, my nieces and nephews that I have. Like, they're like my heart and soul. I didn't know that I needed the education that I have. Everything that I have in my life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with it, not because I manifested it for myself. And even the goals that I worked so hard towards and I did achieve and or didn't achieve, guess what? There were so many times that I fell that it should have been like, Fatima, you're done. You're done. There are so many times that people should have given up on me. But Allah put something in their heart and in my will to keep going for me to be just the decent human being I'm trying to be every single day. Every single day. So every day it should be a choice that you're going to, yes, manifest good in your life for sure. Every day it should be a choice that I'm going to try the best to be the best that I can. Every day it should be a choice that you're going to take God on your journey with you in life. That is what true manifestation is. It's just dua. It's just remembering Allah. And there's nothing bigger or better than that. Imagine you work hard towards something. You don't necessarily get that thing, but you feel very content because you know you did your best and you took God on your journey with you. Imagine the levels of anxiety that goes down. Imagine. Because now everything is not on your shoulders. Everything is not on your shoulders. You know why? Because again, we can try to move mountains. They won't move unless God allows it. We can try to move mountains, but they won't move if God does not allow it. So when I say, okay, you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this is what's best, please allow it for it to happen. If it's not, then khalas. That to me is like, oh, okay. All right, I'm doing the best that I can. If it doesn't work out, I know that, you know what? It was just not meant to be. And you're not being sad about it. It's not a pessimistic way of thinking. It's a realistic way of thinking. That not everything in life goes as we want it, but if we take God with us, it will always go better than we ever thought. So that is my 15 cents, because that was a long time, about manifestation. And, you know, I was really actually kind of, not gonna lie to y'all, well, live stream's on, I don't really like being on the internet. But I was like, this is a little, I don't really know how I'm going to do this little topic, but alhamdulillah, I feel like, again, a lot came through. Oh, you need a napkin?
Yeah. We're doing this for pandemic purposes, y'all. I just want to end with one really short thing, and we'll break for Salah, inshallah. It's already 7:45. You know, one thing I always think about is that, and Asana and Fatima kind of elaborated on this really beautifully, that, you know, there are so many things that happen in your life that you don't plan, right? You don't ask for. You actually maybe like actively or like subconsciously avoiding it. But Allah, you know, in the Quran, he actually says, you know, ma asaba min musibatin, right? Allah, sometimes every calamity, every difficulty, every tragedy that befalls your life, and you think about this, right? Look around the world right now. I mean, starting with the pandemic, which is like obviously like the biggest thing that's happened in the past, you know, however so many years. But then you look out and you see like, you know, the difficulties that's going on around the world, China, right? The Muslims that are being put in concentration camps, Muslims that are continuing to be, you know, oppressed and just persecuted for their beliefs. you look in your own country, you see, have you guys seen like the wildfires that are going on in Oregon right now that's spreading to California, San Francisco? It looks like the apocalypse.
Started in Oregon?
Yeah, apparently started like, yeah, it's very, very ajib, like very strange. You know, one of our classmates at the seminary, actually, he's from, I believe, like the Bay Area, or the, in I think San Francisco, yeah, the Bay Area. And he sent a picture of like his backyard, and he said this was taken at 11 a.m. Guys, it looks like it's like 8 p.m. at night. It's scary. There's so many things happening in the world right now, you know, so many things. And a person who doesn't have, like Ustadha Fatima said, who doesn't have Allah on their journey with them, life just seems very much a disaster multiple times throughout your lifetime, you know. But Allah says something very interesting in that same ayah. He says, not a calamity falls upon this earth except with the permission of God. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ, but the people who believe in God, Allah will always guide them through it. Always. So does it mean that, you know, just because you believe in Allah that like your life will be free of calamity and trials and difficulties? No. But for the people who have Allah on their journey with them, there will always be a way where you're just well-equipped to handle everything. Well-equipped to handle everything. And I made this example yesterday, actually, during the series that we're doing for our youth. You know, LeBron is like, you know, obviously like probably the greatest player right now in the NBA. And he gets full court press, double team, triple team. The NBA throws like challenges at him, like literally like every game that he plays. They game plan for him specifically versus any other player they've ever played. LeBron is clearly like the best player in the NBA right now. Does that mean that his life is horrible? No. But you know what he does differently though? He's equipped to handle it. He's equipped to handle it, right? And as Muslims, you know, it's not that life hates you or Allah is angry at you. It's that you're worth it, man. You're worth those challenges because you're up to that challenge. And in the same hadith that I mentioned earlier, the Prophet ﷺ said, and the people who are weaker in faith, Allah will test them in accordance to their level, that they might not be able to handle it. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not test or burden a soul more than what it can bear. And think about it. What are the tests and what are the struggles that you've gone through your life? And ask yourself, why did Allah choose you for that? There must be a reason. There must be a reason. And whatever you want in your life, you know, we're talking about this idea of manifesting. Whatever you want in your life, man, just talk to Allah. Islam is so simple, man. Like, sometimes I just think about it, I'm like, man, like, my wife, actually, she converted from Catholicism when she was, like, 18 years old. And I had her, like, teach me Christianity. And I was like, what do you do? Like, right? Like, what are, like, some of the norms and rituals that you have to, like, you know, how are you, like, what do you do when you're a Christian? And she says, well, one of the things that is the most difficult things about being in that faith base or faith group is that it seems like you don't have a personal connection to God. You always have to go through somebody. And I always think to myself, I'm like, man, Islam is awesome. Like, you can literally be, like, a dude that has had his worst year spiritually, and your relationship with Allah, you have the same accessibility. Doesn't matter if like Sheikh this or Sheikha that or Ustadha this or Ustadha that has like a better relationship with Allah. No, Allah is literally the same distance away from you as he is from somebody who is like super religiously devoted, you know? And that's, I think, something that's always important to think about. And so we're going to wrap up with that, inshallah. We thank you guys so much for coming out today. Today, like, I actually believe that we brought back soul food at like the perfect time. Like, really? September in Dallas is like when it's, alhamdulillah, like not like Jahannam hot anymore. And it's like actually like tolerable here now. It's like, you know, below 110 degrees. I know this is like a facade. It's probably not going to be 75 degrees for the rest of the month, but inshallah, if we manifest hard enough, I'm just kidding. If we make dua hard enough, this will be something that it will be, inshallah, a consistent thing throughout the next duration of the couple of months. And this will be a weekly thing from now on. Myself and Ustadha Fatima are ecstatic. Honestly, Sister May's here as well. We have the entire team, Brother Fahad, everybody in the back. We're so happy to see you guys, honestly. You guys have no idea how much we've missed seeing our community. Seriously, you have no idea. I know that it seems like Roots never stopped. And obviously it didn't, because you guys saw the amount of stuff on Instagram and Facebook. But in reality, like, a part of us was missing without seeing you guys here in front of us. And the fact that we have you guys back here, alhamdulillah, is like a breath of fresh air for us. And may Allah allow us to continue to do this for you guys. And may Allah allow us to continue to get together and remember him. And just remember one thing, that the angels are here with us right now. You know, whenever you remember Allah, the angels literally stop whatever they're doing and they're literally walking by you and they stop and they gather here together. It's a really special feeling, right? Alhamdulillah. So we ask Allah to accept from us, mm-hmm. and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for any of our mistakes that we've made, knowingly or unknowingly. Mm-hmm. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward us for any small deeds that we've done that are beautiful and have them be heavy on the scale of good deeds on the Day of Judgment. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan, y'all. So inshallah, we're going to do Salatul Maghrib now. The direction is that way, like that corner, towards like that, I don't even know what I'm pointing to, towards that chair in the back. And the sisters can stay where they are. And we're just going to be praying in this spot. And we're going to be praying, inshallah, towards that direction.
Which direction?
That direction. I'm not going to say cardinal direction. I know you're trying to trap me. So, okay, guys, we'll see you guys in a second.